Okay. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. This is Inside Out. I'm one of your hosts, Mimi Magic, and let me introduce my lovely co-host, Bianca.
Hi, Mimi. Happy Monday to all of our listeners. How are you?
I am doing the best I can with what I got, but today is a little bit more special. We can get into that. But I'm feeling it and it's feeling good. And for those who are not familiar with us, we are two hosts of Inside Out, LGBTQ Radio. Inside Out Radio illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA+ experience. Our groundbreaking show has aired since 2008. And is DC's only show of its kind on the FM dial, and one of only a handful in the country. As the name implies, we take you inside this community to look at everything from pop culture to politics through an LGBTQIA inclusive lens. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting-edge public affairs programming on WPFW, the home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. You can catch us on there if the radio isn't the thing you're listening to. And right after the show ends, if you see us on iTunes under Inside Out, you can catch the recording, keep up with us on your daily shuffle. Feel free to give us a call. Ask a question, say hello, get involved. 202-588-0893. Again, 202-588-0893. Today's show topic is two sides of the same genre, the feminine blind spot. And we have a wonderful guest, Kat Cooper, who is an author and writer who is going to give a wonderful perspective of the topics that we will be discussing today between females that were biologically females and trans women. A conversation that has seemed to be had over and over, but maybe this time we can shed a little light and see where we can bridge the gap. So I would love to welcome somebody so dear, Kat Cooper. How are you?
Thank you, Mimi, and thank you, Bianca. I'm doing wonderful. I'm happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you on such a wonderful Monday. And please, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself for those who happen to not know you.
Sure. So I've been writing since I was a little kid. It was an outlet for me based on the things that I had been through. As I grew older, I grew a love for it. It gave me a chance to explore the subconscious, the dark subconscious of society, and really see where we could fix things for our future generations, where we could fix our current society so that we don't essentially create a fall of, you know, the United States.
Well, that's wonderful because we definitely want to keep that going, you know?
Pretty deep, you know?
Pretty deep.
I'm a dreamer.
Hey, we love that. And, you know, you are an author and writer. Now, the subjects that you like to write about, if we can kind of pick your brain a little bit about that.
Sure. So I tend to go for the horror thriller. Sometimes you need to go into the darkness to sometimes find that light. But I like to focus on underrepresented communities. I like to focus on things like religion, money issues, sex, anger, guilt. If anybody knows about the seven deadly sins, things like that.
Okay. Well, I love that. And I think that this will definitely segue us into our topic today, highlighting the differences and similarities between biological females at birth and trans women. We, you know, have definitely understood that there is a big debate and that we have people on both sides that, you know, can be very positive about similarities and then, you know, can also see differences. And I myself feel like there are some similarities. Uh-huh. There are definitely differences. And I'm happy that you're here to help us break down a few opinions that we all have in order to hopefully bridge some gaps that people might have and maybe educate some people along the way. Mm-hmm. So you are a mixed race female mm-hmm. in America.
Yes.
What are some similarities that you feel biological females and trans women share when it comes to navigating life?
So one thing I know we can all agree on is we all know what it's like to live in a male-dominated patriarchy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know that we're going to experience violence. We mm-hmm. know that we're going to experience oppression of our voices. So that we share. We also know that like certain experiences, like you have people of color on both sides. So we share that similarity. You have low income, you have disability. There's so much outside of gender and sex that we could relate to each other. And that could be the starting point.
Right. And, you know, definitely bringing up, you know, like wealth and equity and color, you know, they're not very biased all the time when you're enduring it, you know, and, mm-hmm. and then there is biases when it comes to who is impacted more, especially when we talk about, you know, low job rates for trans folks mm-hmm. and how experiencing of homelessness as at a major high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes to homelessness, where that individual can go, because mm-hmm. see, now you have discrimination against that sector mm-hmm. because the women, you know, might not, the trans women might not be able to be housed in a shelter for biological women because mm-hmm. now there is a, you know, fear of something, or, you know, maybe a person doesn't check a certain box that society feels they need to in order to be housed. So mm-hmm. now it's put back on that individual to figure that out themselves.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I'm really loving this topic because we're going to be able to kind of break down a little bit of where the biases that mm-hmm. both face. Some might be crippled in other ways more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to differences, now this is the thing that I think is always like the hot topic, right? Because we have definitely seen some wild videos where, you know, maybe, okay, so let's just bring it back to last year, how we have mm-hmm. T.S. Madison, who is a trans influencer and has been, you know, I would say an icon in our community for a very long time now, very outspoken, very direct, you know, about her opinions. And I don't feel like she's very wishy-washy. And then we had like the Just Hilarious situation where, you know, she came out and said a lot of different things that were hurtful to a lot of people in the community, but also speaking her opinion and her experience. We know everybody can always speak a little bit more on the understanding side, but that didn't happen. So let's just move on. Okay, that didn't happen. What was it, Bianca? What was the whole thing? It was about gatekeeping periods. Okay, that was the whole thing here. Now, Bianca, we need to have you come up in this, okay? Because what do you feel about a trans woman? Now, let's be clear, though. The trans woman who made the video, if you looked at the whole video, she said that biological women do not gatekeep periods because there are trans men who happen to continue down that path, because unless you get a hysterectomy, you know, everything, the whole nine yards, that's still something that occurs. So that was the length of the video. If you watched it, there was a snippet taken, and then there were some people on the trans side that started to take this and run up this mountain and say, well, no, you don't gatekeep this. We have them too. Bianca.
Yeah.
Something you want to tell me, girl? Because
this is a very, very interesting topic. And I'm just like, you know, really amazed that we're having this conversation in this forum, because it is something that, you know, many of us have to talk about to kind of keep a lot of like learning and education, right? And I think to your point, Morgan, you know, we can always lean on looking at it on both ways and have this platform to really have both of those opinions be shared, because diversity of our listeners as well is, you know, the audience that we have are very diverse, right? And it's different. Yep. And I really appreciate that we're having this conversation. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and having Kat to kind of chime in and kind of hear from her lens and from her perspective around this issue, I think will bring up a lot of, like, possibly, you know, thoughts and questions from our listeners that they've been isolating for themselves, because they, you know, they want to be careful, you know, they want to be mindful of, like, the conversation that they're having. So they think what we're having right now is definitely going to help our listeners, that if we stay in a space and if our intent is to really listen and have an open conversation, I think we can get to a place of like, okay, I hear you, even though that is really what, you know, your opinions are, but that doesn't mean that you would be any different than I am just because of my opposite opinion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty of why we wanted to have this conversation. And to your point of, and even in our community, right, you know, even within, you know, the trans experience, there's so many different opinions as well in specific topics, right? You know, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of people in general in this country, right? But lately, it's been kind of one-sided, right? You know, like, this is your opinion, this is my opinion, we're not going to agree to it, and then it becomes more of like a really intense conversation and back and forth versus just really having like an open conversation. So I'm hoping, you know, that with Pat as our guest here, that our listeners will really, you know, learn from this experience to, if we are having an open mind, and if our intent and the meaning of the conversation in the moment that we're having is to really learn, I think we'll get to a place where we both, okay, we may not agree on something, but I hear what you're saying.
And, you know, and thank you, because, you know, I feel like you're like the lawyer that I need whenever I'm speaking, so you can give the PSA out. But when it comes to it,
for those listeners,
you had to give the PSA out. But, you know, just between squirrel friends here,
right,
the period debate.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, Bianca, you and I have gone through our experiences, and that's not one of them. It's not one of them. And I feel like that's where you, as an individual, are creating negative connotation, because, you know, when it comes to being a trans woman, you know, there's people attacking us about mental health, that we are, you know, shouldn't own weapons, or, you know, we shouldn't, you know, be able to be in school, you know, things like this, because they're trying to, the naysayers of us existing are trying to say we have mental health conditions that make us a certain kind of danger. So therefore, when you're creating this delusion of something that is really not something that we're going around feeling or doing, why are you doing it? You know, like that, I guess that's my point. If that's not the experience, don't you feel like you're creating a caricature of someone and us as well? It's negative and it's not true. So I always feel like if you're being a truthful person about who you are, let's say it transparent, you're not going to create murky areas in order for people to think you really don't know who you are and what you're talking about. And I do feel like these type of debates, which should be non-debates and non-negotiables, are creating more issue for us. It's creating the jokey joke. And it's creating the you'll say anything to get attention thing. Just like the woman last year when Biden had that wonderful pride event and that trans influencer decided to go topless and say, oh, free the nipple. Excuse me, ma'am. Bianca, you were there. You weren't freeing your nipple. And you are a public figure in our community. I have definitely been a person, you know, seen and out in the community. And I had to represent myself in a certain way because of the way that I thought and feel I should present. So if I'm sitting at a conference and all of a sudden I'm just showing everybody something because you want some man to look at you, let's be real, you're desecrating what we're trying to achieve by having these spaces be available for us. What do you feel on those things, Miss Bianca?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I agree and I support that, you know, we can live our authentic self, right? But at the same time, there's also like a place and time, right? You know, for us to really be able to like present our authentic self, right? And unfortunately, you know, at least in my personal opinion, and I'm sure more than you, you know, you'll echo this, is, you know, White House is not a place for us to be, you know, be doing anything that may not be like White House level, whatever that may be. Now, for that individual, you know, that influencer, he may, you know, think that, okay, you know, I am trying to make a point, right, you know, or engage in a conversation, but I think it was just like the wrong timing. Right, you know, because it was more of like a celebration of the community. So it was just one of those things where,
yes, it was terrible. Right. Yes. It was terrible. It was distasteful.
It was like a totally different circumstances, right? You know, yes. for her and for us to have that conversation, because it affected so many people who were there as well, who have, you know, traveled from all over the country. And to your point, you know, I think it also kind of put us, like, kind of step us back a little bit, you know.
A lot.
Work that yeah. we're, like, you know, and how we're, you know, wanting to be presented in the society. So that was just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, so many of us are, you know, being affected by it because of a lot of the work that we're doing to make sure that, you know, we're not always having that debate of, like, just trying to prove ourselves.
Well, and also you're creating sexualization of yourselves again in a position where you shouldn't be doing that. Like, that's just, it's not who everybody is. And Kat, you know, you a different voice on this, you know, conversation here. How do you feel something like that represents females and trans women, seeing somebody who is exposing themselves that way?
I think it's the same on both sides. It's like, you've got to know the place and the time. It's like, not every place is the right place to do things like that. You can't, it's like, there's a level of professionalism. You wouldn't go into your job and do that. So why would you go to something like the White House, which is very well respected or location, and think that's okay? So it's like, know when and where to do things and just go by that.
Do you think do you think that something like that, for people who might not have been so familiar with it, with this woman being a trans woman, that it reflects poorly on females in general, because that's what, she's a trans woman, so she's representing womanhood in that way. Do you think that that mars females?
I think it definitely blurs the lines. It definitely, yeah. If someone can't tell the difference between a trans woman and a biological woman, and it's gonna look at like us as a whole. And essentially, that's what we want. We want to look as one, but at the same time, like, we got to be careful what we do on both sides, because it reflects on the other.
Right. And, you know, and the thing is about also talking about visibility and, you know, what we always say about passability and things like that. It was before, you know, the journey was to go from, you know, being made maybe by Hasbro and, you know, turning into something made by Mattel. So the point is, like, we always talk about passing and things like that. And that was to keep you safe and also to live an authentic life and, you know, everything like that. And now we have seen over years that some people do not take that path, or maybe they don't have the availability to take certain paths that they would like. And it's not that everybody needs to look the same or anything like that. But I do think that, unfortunately, certain brands and people are not always pulling the people who have taken those routes, and they're pulling other people so that then they can always create that kind of divide, if it makes sense.
The wrong people have the platform, essentially.
Right. Because if you have a person who is a drag queen and then you have them up there speaking about trans rights, that's not fair. Because I feel like if that's not that person's journey and their path, you're doing, you know, our community injustice, and you're confusing people again, because it took so long for trans women to get from up under. Well, no, I am not this. This is me as a person. So when it comes to, like, the bathroom situation, because we always have these kind of issues, you know, come up, and now, you know, you see more issues when it comes to, you know, men being caught doing something really weird and then saying that they're trans. And, you know, we never really heard of these things before. It became such a hyperbolic issue. What do you feel about the bathroom situation? Do you feel like trans women are okay and can be protected in those spaces, as long as, you know, you're going in there, do what you need to do and roll out? Or do you feel like it's a gateway for predators, even though that has happened before even the trans issue?
I think, honestly, and use the bathroom you want to use. Why are we gatekeeping what bathroom? It's like, if you're comfortable using the women's bathroom, go in the women's bathroom, and you should be allowed to do so. It's like, does it open the door for predators when we publicize it, where it's like, we make, like, yes, we need to have this bathroom, we need to have this bathroom or this bathroom. And I think it opens the door for things like predators to be like, well, I identify this person, since there's this law now, I'm going to identify like this, I'm going to walk in. I mean, there's always that that possibility. But the possibility of it happening is very low, very low.
Right. And, you know, and I feel like that's why when, you know, people in general will commit crimes, people in general will do negativity to other people, but it's not for a certain genre of people to be deemed this, when a lot of times it's more of a scary situation for people who are new and their transition, are feeling more comfortable about who they are. And it's more of a scary thing to go into these situations, not really something they're intending on. Now, I will push back on people who have made these videos that have been very direct and nasty to biological females, that say, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. My understanding about this is that certain people have had, you know, they've transitioned later in life. Mm-hmm. And through transitioning later, it doesn't mean that they did not adapt and experience the privilege they had as a male. So yeah. Now things that have changed for them, they're still treating women the same way they would have been treating them. And now they're saying, I identify as something else. And I feel like that is creating so much of the wrong narrative. Because if you were going to be like that to a woman anyway, you was going to be like that now. Mm-hmm. You're not going to switch yeah. the way your mind is and your work ethic and how you feel better than in a patriarchal mm-hmm. society. You're actually going to impede on those people mm-hmm. and you're going to feel that. And I feel like that's who we're catching. Mm-hmm. That's who's getting the views. That's who's getting the likes, because it goes into the narrative of people who, I don't know, maybe they're just kind of like somewhere else, but mm-hmm. on the right side, I feel like that fits their narrative. Mm-hmm. Loony, aggressive, psychotic, and not really assimilating it into something where you're going to be respectful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we can relate to that, because I mean, as a person of color, as someone who identifies as Black, we know how it is to have something transformed into something else that wasn't its original purpose. For instance, the term woke, how it started as a enlightenment for Black people, turned into something that's now derogatory. It's negative. It's used as a weapon.
Right. Right. Yeah. Your woke agenda, where being woke was being alert to the injustice. Mm-hmm. And explain a little bit more about the woke culture, how it began, Kat, just for, you know, listeners that maybe not know.
Oh man, you got me into I have to go back.
Well, it's definitely more so of like an Erykah Badu understanding of, you know, what it was like to be upright and in call out injustice and ensure that, you know, our people were moving forward mm-hmm. and knowing what's happening. So stay woke, stay alert, understand. Mm-hmm. And so now it's anything that some person who is coming up with some cockney mess is saying, it's like, oh, that's woke.
Yes.
You know, it's woke. Now they've weakened what something so strong and powerful was supposed to be. And, you know, that's a great point. You know, mm-hmm. it's the changeling of something. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you think, and I want you to think about this question, okay? Because mm-hmm. we're going to go on a short little break in just a moment. I want you to think about this one. What can both sides do to come together at this time in life and society? And we're going to roll on out in a quick break. This is dedicated to somebody I used to know. And we will be back after the break with Inside Out, my wonderful co-host Bianca, and our wonderful guest, Kat Cooper.
Okay, we'll be right back.
At least I know how hard we tried, both you and me.
right. It's over. It's over again. Welcome back to Inside Out, LGBTQIA plus radio. We are back with my lovely host, Bianca. I am Mimi Magic, and our wonderful guest, Kat Cooper, author and writer. We are talking about the differences and similarities of biological women and trans women, what we can do to bridge the gap. So, Kat, I left you with that on our way out for a little bit of levity. What do you think both sides can do to come together to bridge the gap?
The first thing I think we can do is kind of take our emotions out of it. I know with certain things we can get very attached to what we believe in. Mm-hmm. But I think the more we can open ourselves up to others' experiences, I think we'll have a better understanding of each other. That's one thing. And then two is we need to have more of these conversations, larger conversations. What do you experience? What do I experience? How do you feel? How do I feel? And then where do we relate and what could we work on together? And how can we be a better ally to each other?
Correct. And I love all of that. No, completely. Bianca?
No, I love that. I mean, I love, you know, what you shared around like finding our similarities and differences and then how we can be an ally to each other, right? Because oftentimes we make so many assumptions about, you know, other people or other members of our community without really, you know, having the opportunity to learn a little bit more about that community or about that individual. You know, we're always going with like our assumptions or our biases based on like, you know, what society told us the community is, or, you know, like how we grew up, what our elders, what our parents have said. So I think, Pat, to your point of, you know, if we just, you know, be open, you know, and separate kind of like the emotions around it and really just engage in conversation, you know, surprisingly, we'll probably find more similarities with each other and then start building that like trust and empathy, you know, towards each other, and we can be an ally.
I totally agree with both of you. And I think that the common denominator is, you know, for those in the understanding, it can be like relationships with how we deal with men. Because what I've realized is that, you know, if you're a trans woman who, you know, is heterosexual in the sense, okay, I'm breaking it down for the people who don't know, but, you know, you're not like, you're not a gay person naturally. So it's, you're a trans woman. So then therefore your sexuality is different than your identity. So if you're looking towards, you know, a biological male, then you would be technically in like a heterosexual relationship. Just to break down the terminology, you don't have to agree with me, it's fine, but I'm just breaking it down for conversational purposes. So when it comes to that pool of men who date trans women and biological women, here we are, the same person creating the same issues, but they pin it on things. Like, so when it comes to relationships, I always feel that naturally I know the person who I am dating has already been with a biological female, however long their relationship was, whatever. There is no mystery to me, okay? I always try and think of the other side of it, though. When it comes to that same man being with a biological woman and wanting to be with a trans woman, there's fear. They hide more. They're not coming out, "Hi, I'm so-and-so and I date trans women" in the past. You know, there's a lot of shame that comes with these things. And, you know, then there's an understanding where that woman is maybe not comfortable with her partner dating trans women. So if they're hiding something, that does create danger for that trans woman who may not know or whatever. I mean, whatever y'all are doing out there doing, whatever. But the thing is, if they don't know that their significant other is into trans women, and then they find out, that creates a lot of betrayal trauma, that creates a lot of issue, that man now might cause violence towards the trans woman, which is a lot of times who causes the violence in our community, is ex situations or men who are undercover in the sense of what they like. So it creates danger. And also being exposed will create danger for that biological woman who's with him as well. So we're sharing a lot of the same issues, which is somebody who is disguising something and then taking it out on us. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous. And I don't know how to get, you know, maybe we can try and talk about this a little bit, where what is the understanding? Is it that it should be accepted for these men to be transparent? And like, how do we do that? Because now people are like, oh, I'm queer, right? And it doesn't seem like they get less of anything. I don't know. I mean, what I've seen, you know, I'm always like, okay, now you're with this woman. Okay, now you're with this trans woman. Okay, now you're back over here. You know, you just a mess. So whatever. But, Bianca, like, what do you think about that? Do you think it's because these men don't feel like they can be open?
Well, first of all, relationship is very complex. It doesn't matter of your identity, whether mm-hmm. you're in a straight relationship or in a queer relationship. Relationships in general is very complicated. And I think the other factor into that is, like, cheating is cheating. Identity has nothing to do with your sexual...
Talk about it.
If you betray someone, it's gonna, we're a human being, right? You know, it's going to hurt, right? I think where it's a little different is because of, you know, how society have taught all of us in terms of, like, dating trans women, or historically what's been more publicized are, you know, this straight men who are in the DL dating trans women, and they were hiding them because of their own personal reputation. Mm-hmm. But then impact their either relationship at home or their relationship with the trans woman. And unfortunately, to your point, Morgan, it's always the trans woman kind of gets the heavy weight because of it, because it's not something that society accepted, you know, for trans women to, like, Drake, to date men, especially to do it more openly, right? You know, and all of this complexity stems from history on how we, you know, really deliver the message of, like, how do we treat trans people, mm-hmm. right? You know, and we've seen this, you know, every time we look at the news, every time we read newspapers, it's always been, you know, like, all negative, all about, like, an attack, you know, all about, like, exclusion, all about not having or taking away rights of, you know, the trans community. I think we're now in a place where we have, you know, we have the opportunity to shift the mindset, right? And I think this is another conversation that we can have at another time. Oftentimes when we're having this kind of conversation, immediately we jump into, oh, you're trying to change my mind. Right. It's not changing mind. I can't change your mind. You know, you're a grown person and you can have your own opinion, but I think it's more of, like, just shifting how we think about certain situation and kind of dealing with our own individual bias, so that way it doesn't come across more negative when we're trying to resolve whatever it is, whether a conversation or an issue. And I think that's really what, you know, we've been wanting to and we've been trying to do as part of the queer community to so many of other members of the community. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm not trying to convince you to be on my side. I just need you to understand what the pathway is for somebody who is trans when it's going to the bathroom or dating somebody who's in their down low or, you know, having this complexity in their mental health, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So I think if we preface it like that, hopefully there would be more open conversation, right? But that's more of, like, a pretty straightforward, if we do it that way, then everything is going to be rainbows and glitters, right? But the reality is that's not the case.
No, mm-hmm. No.
Different opinion. But I think if we just continue this pathway of, like, I'm not trying to change your mind. I just wanted you to really think of it from a different perspective. And I think it's also about, like, the words that we're using, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier, Morgan, about the bathroom issue. For the longest time, the whole bathroom issue has always been, well, trans people are pedophiles, they're just going to take advantage of your children. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we've not even really seen any data that, you know, somebody who identifies as trans have molested somebody in the bathroom, right?
Right.
You know, not being proven. But because that's what so many influential people are saying, then that's what's getting in our head, right?
But you're stereotyped.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But if we just use a different language, that we just like, we just want to pay, right? You know, we just want to do our business, or really just focus on like, what is the purpose of somebody going to the bathroom?
Or be loved, you know?
Or be loved, right? You know, we just want to be loved. You know, we just wanted to, you know, be in a relationship, you know, with the person that we love and stuff like that.
A real person, yeah. That would be nice.
If we just kind of like also our language, and I think this goes to members of our community as well, right? You know, it's not just okay, well, if our cisgender people just, you know, shift the language, then everything will be okay. I think we as part of the community also have the responsibility to start using languages that are really one can rely, you know, can be more understandable, right? You know, to our allies, because we do have our allies there. We have a lot of cats, you know, that are supporters of us and, you know, walking side by side with us. And they're the ones that's also going to be engaging in this conversation on some of the spaces that we may not be in or we're not welcome to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the harder ones for themselves. And Kat, how do you feel?
No, I agree totally. It's honestly, what it is you don't have to join me on my journey, but just don't stop me to where I'm going.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And it's like, we have to start thinking outside of ourselves, because we get it. Everybody suffers from ego. And it's like what we believe, what we know. It's like, that's it. That's the end all be all. You could bring in religion right there. And it's like, well, I believe what I believe and you believe what you believe. We're both going to hell.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's not about us. If someone is suffering, we need to pay attention and we need to do something as an entire community to help each other so that we're not suffering. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter if we're talking about gender, if we're talking about race, if we're talking about income. You see somebody suffering, you see somebody being attacked, you see someone not having rights, speak up and help. That's the human thing to do.
The human thing, exactly. And that's why when it comes to these relationships, I feel like a lot of times, and this is something I've probably drilled down, but I feel that a lot of times trans women outside of, you know, biological females will be targeted by narcissistic type men because of the natural hierarchy that they feel, even when they're not able to financially support that person. You know, it's almost like, oh, you're trans and you have a career, or you're doing certain things, or it's almost like, oh, you're just so this unicorn because you're not doing the stereotypical things, which are fine for, you know, people to do if that's their path. But there's a lot of things that are done that do create dangerous stereotypes for people that are not trying to walk down that path. Like, we're first sexualized from the introduction of it, watching pornography or something like that. It's not like you're seeing us on a sitcom, you know, that's like, oh, you're my fun neighbor, Brenda, and she's trans. Like, no, it's not like that. So these men are discovering it in shame. They're keeping it to themselves. Then they want to explore it. They want to utilize you in a different way. A lot of times women go through this stuff too in general because, you know, oh, you're Asian. That's a fetish for me. Or, oh, if I can be with a Black woman, ooh, you know. So it's like, I feel like both are sexualized, objectified, controlled, manipulated, mishandled, gaslit of their power. And it comes from these people that do these things. And I guess the only heavier difference is that I feel when it comes to trans women, it's that it's accepted from everybody that they're looked at this way. It's like being the one kid that's picked on at school, and everybody's a bully. nobody's relieving you, because it's like, oh yeah, or that guy who is actually involved with somebody is going to maybe hype up such a negative thing so he doesn't seem like he's involved in that. And I just feel like we really do get targeted by narcissistic types because they're already expecting so less. And if you're so quick to send them something or be so involved, then they're just going to treat you this way. And unfortunately, like my experience, I could probably write down in a book to scare anybody. But at the end of the day, what I realize is that being different, you know, in our community, as Bianca is herself, you know, we take a lot of flack from both ends. You know, that's people in our community that say, oh, you guys are, what do they call us? What do they call us? Tower princesses, something like that. I don't know. I heard that slight remark. Yeah, because we're privileged because we didn't have to do certain things in order to obtain certain things in the community. But with that, it's kind of like a poo-poo on me, but I'm not going to poo-poo on you, which I don't. But it's just pretty funny to me because I'm like, okay, but I'm a person. Bianca's a person. And we're using every availability that we have to uplift, elevate, and cultivate, because that's what we're doing. And we want to show the difference. And I just feel like, you know, when we go through heartbreaks, I think people are like, oh, get over it, or oh, whatever. And it's different because there's still that connotation of that you're lucky to be with somebody. So you deal with things longer because of that, and because of the other person's access to so many other things. And it's really criminal that people would search for somebody and treat them that way. And they really can deny that, oh, it's not because of this or that, because they do it to biological females too. They do horrible things. But it's like the things you're going to do horrible are just naturally going to come to you for this person that you feel are not going to get help, you know? We're blessed to have a strong circle, Bianca and I. We are very blessed that way. But, you know, I don't know. I think that if we can really sit back and break down the disparages that we go through, we could actually find the common ground that we are not enemies. Biological female are evidently the blueprint to things that we're becoming, maybe not for all. Some may be like Pamela, some may be like Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know. But, you know, it's a different slot. And you want to be your best self. People don't need to destroy that because of one, a man's opinion, or something you're not sure of. And I feel like that's how we can bridge it. Conversation, community, not seeing each other as enemies because some idiot wants to pin you against what you look like or feel like, because women do that anyway. Women do that all the time. And you got to look at the source. Who's pushing you to be that way? Yeah. So if we take out some things, I feel we can add a lot more, and a lot more care, and a lot more strength. Because
I think if also we need to go deep within our own selves, find out why we feel such anger to each other. What is the root cause? It could be anything from the family we were raised in to the institutions we experienced, like religion, school, the things we listen to. And if I think if we can decipher, like, what is that root cause that makes me so angry towards this other person, I think that'll also help to bridge the gap.
Yeah, alleviate the trauma. And it's definitely where, you know, I mean, I see the videos, you know, some trans women saying like, oh, well, don't be mad because, you know, y'all looking this way and he wants me. And I'm like, okay, but you're celebrating the fact that he already has somebody, like, and you're like this, like, sneaky link, like, do better. Like, you know, and I'm not trying to be up here on a soapbox, but it's just like, do better, because, like, you know, the other woman saying that to another woman anyway, is it's bad behavior. And that's frowned upon anyway. So it's like, why do you want to be seen in that light? And then something negative happens, then you're like, oh, so no, it's what you're doing. It now doesn't have to do with everything. Like, you know, everybody, when they're always like, oh, you're saying it just because you're Black, you know? And it's like, well, in cases it is. And then sometimes people just, you know, maybe you just do stuff that was crazy. So it's just, we need to stop drilling it down to the identity, I feel, because we, like, Bianca and I can sit here and we are very different, like, very different. Like, she has a wonderful wedding dress and I have 27 bridesmaid dresses in my closet, okay? So, like, we are very different. But, you know, one day maybe I can trade one, you know, for something different.
Instead of movie sequel coming up.
I love it. But I'm just saying, like, you know, all, you know, never a bride, always the maid of honor or whatever. But it's like there's different paths. And your journey with your partner was very different to establish so much greatness. And, you know, you've been together for, like, you know, what, 16 years or something like that. She's probably like, no, it's 20, girl. But like a long time. And that shows real stability and partnership. And it's not based on somebody's sexuality or whatever. It really proves so many people wrong. And and that's what I live for, is the constant evidence that everybody's life is as beautiful as you want to make it. And you don't have to tear people down if you just don't know. But if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
Yeah.
And so that's why it is hope. And Kat, I'm going to let you tell everybody that's listening where they can find your book or contact you if they would like, you know, to speak with you directly.
Sure. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Storytelling by Kat. And you can also visit my website at www.storytellingbykat.com.
Okay. And would you like to give a final comment to those who are listening that may have heard our conversation, something you would like to leave everybody with?
Sure. What I think is that we just need to be better listeners. We were given two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Okay. And Bianca, we do have something coming up. Bianca, would you like to tell everybody about the event?
Yes. Thank you, Morgan. And Kat, thank you again for joining us tonight. This has been really a great conversation that we've had. And I hope our listeners, you know, have learned or have had some takeaways from a variety of topics that we discussed in the hour. But as Morgan said, in addition to us being collective hosts of PFW Inside Out Radio, we're also organizers of Trans Pride Washington, D.C., and you can find us on all social media as Trans Pride Washington, D.C. And for Trans Day of Visibility, we are having an event at SUR Bar, which is a local bar in Washington, D.C., and our event will center and highlight artists and entertainers in our community and showcasing their talent. So it's an open mic. We hope that we see you there. Again, it's on March 30th. That's a Sunday for Trans Day of Visibility at SUR Bar. So hopefully we'll see you there.
Yes, and allies are so welcome. So for those who are not in the community, please, please come out and support. And, you know, if you want to register, you know, sing a little song, do a little dance, we will enjoy it. Well, this has been a wonderful show. Thank you again, Kat. And as always, the lovely Bianca. I love doing all of this with you always. You are such a rock star. Kat, thank you.
I appreciate you letting me be here.
Always. And you have definitely been a friend to the show for a very long time. So thank you so much. Well, we will be closing out with a wonderful song dedicated to and we will have another set of voices next Monday at 6 p.m. when Inside Out returns. Stay safe, stick close to the ones you love. Have a great evening.
Bye, everyone.
This is a true story about all the lies you fantasize about you and I. This is a true story about all the games I know you play. No, this is not what I need.
Give me love, love, give me love.
Not what I want.
Give me love, love,
ain't
give me
gonna
love.
Happen to me.
Give me love, love, give me love, love, love. Give me love, give me love, 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 love.
I'll play the villain if you need me to. I know how this goes, yeah. I'll be the one. The cameras.
Elise Bryant here. Bev Grant and the DC Labor Chorus will perform We Were There, a celebration of Women's History Month with music and the spoken word, next Tuesday, March 12th, the Tacoma Bus Boys and Poets. Admission is free, but tickets are required. And you can get them now at laborheritage.org. Click on calendar. See you there.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW, and it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.